The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
What's up, guys? This week's Gamescast is brought to you by Blue Apron. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. They know that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-owned farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron's bringing you the best. Let's talk about some of the meals available in July. Spinach and basil pesto gnocchi with summer squash, green beans, and a fresh mozzarella. Spiced pork tacos with avocado, pickled onion, and elote style corn. Can I get a ruling on that, Kevin? Is it elote? Elote? Elote. Elote. Summer vegetable pizza with a garlic lemon broccolini. I'm a big broccolini fan. Anyway, you can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/gamescast. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/gamescast. What's up, guys? Welcome to the first ever episode 76 of the Kinda Funny Gamescast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the coolest dudes in video games, one Colin Moriarty and one Greg Miller.
Hello. Good to see you. Today. How are you, Tim?
Portillo's here, too.
Portillo's here, really as always. Sorry to be on my phone. I'm sorting something out real
He's
quick.
Fine.
So Colin is sorting some shit out right now because he is about to go on a trip to the beautiful Las Vegas. You might have seen it featured in games such as Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. I'm sure there was a midnight club at some point.
Rainbow Six Vegas.
A bunch of slot machine based games.
Fallout New Vegas.
Colin's going to be going to do that.
You're in the Britney Spears show, correct?
I'm in the Britney Spears show, that's correct. Yes.
That's why you're learning the bass lines.
We just need a little sun.
Mm-hmm.
And by we, I mean Aaron.
You need some sun, so you're going to go to the place where you don't leave a building?
Also, good point.
You go to the pool, you sit around, you drink drinks, let the sun beat down on you. She's excited, I'm actually really looking forward to it as
you
well.
You bring any swim trunks?
No.
You're going to let her beat down on you?
You're going to sit in the pool in your dredge shirt and jeans playing Vita?
Pretty much.
That is a Colin-ass story.
I have shorts.
But what we're going to do in the Gamescast is a little backwards and weird right now. So me and Greg played Beat Inside.
We did.
We're going to do a full review, both spoiler-free and spoiler filled. That's going to be the first topic of the show, but we don't want to spoil Colin, and since he has to go to Vegas, we're going to record that last, but then it's going to go as the first topic.
I got you.
So want to make sure everyone's familiar with this, because in the sense of how this is going to be sequenced, they need to know what's going on.
Sure.
And just so Colin here knows, and I don't want to spoil anything.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Touch him, and we can conduct electricity through him.
I don't like that.
I feel
Kevin, come touch him. Come touch him with us, Kev. Kevin,
you guys are wasting time. I have 45 minutes.
Kevin, right. Yeah, okay. Kind of funny games.
It feels good. It feels damn good.
God, you're so warm. Holy Christ!
Because he was taking a nap out there under a comforter.
Nick, can you just hit the button on the microwave so it's not beeping, please? Or I kill myself.
Time warp.
He definitely has headphones.
Are we time warping?
There's absolutely no way, Nick.
Or do you have to? You want to rigmarole?
We needed the rigmarole first. Uh-oh. Kevin,
you do that.
So for those of you that don't know, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast. Each and every week we get together, talk about video games.
Colin's gone.
Stuff.
Do we talk about Inside
now? I don't know what to
what
do.
What do we do?
I set up all the rules and now I'm breaking them, Greg. No, so if you want to hear us talk about video games and whatever the hell, microwave beeping and Las Vegas and stuff, you're in the right place right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get all the stuff free. But if you wanted it early or to pay for it for some reason, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and you can do just that. Just like Steven Insler did. Shout out to Steven Insler.
Patreon
producer for the 10th year in a row.
Whoa.
I'm really proud
There's
of you.
There's talk of changing the name of the show to the Steven Insler
Cast. I was considering changing the name from Kind of Funny Gamescast to the Steven Insler Show. So thank you. Thank you for all of your support. But yeah, I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I've seen a lot of good feedback recently on the topics that have been chosen. So thank you for that. Keep being you. And I'll keep being me. But yeah, now it's time warp time. So Colin has disappeared, Greg.
Colin is gone. He poof.
Going to
Kevin,
Vegas.
Put a little smoke effect here. Poof. It's gone. Thanks, Kev. He'll do it too. He's crazy. Did you see the frog? Crazy.
I did see the frog. So Greg.
Yeah.
We played a game called Inside.
We sure did.
We did. So what we want to do in classic kind of funny fashion, we want to review it.
Uh-huh.
We'll do the spoiler-free section right now.
We'll be very clear when we move into the spoiler section.
We'll let you know so you can bounce away and then come back to the rest of the show whenever the hell you want to.
Sure.
So you can go play this game. Because I'll
should you play this off,
I think you should play this game. 3 hours, not going to take too much time. You can play it on your Xbox One. You don't got an Xbox One, you can get it on your PC. You don't have a PC, what's wrong with you? It's 2016.
You'll eventually play it on PlayStation, I'm sure.
Eventually. Took Limbo a while.
Yeah, it did.
But I do think you should play it. I think it's a good game, if not great game.
Okay. I think you should play it too. Yeah. I think that I'm going to, when we start talking about it in a spoiler fashion, I'm going to skew and sound negative.
Mm.
But no, I agree with you. It's a good, maybe great game. Beautiful. The puzzles I thought were really good. I'm not, you know, when we talk about puzzle platformers, you know, it's like, I can just imagine me being stuck looking at like, what the fuck do I, and like that happened. I never got stuck. I got to a point of like, what? And it took me a while. It took me multiple tries, but I was never like super frustrated with the game.
Yeah. And I have the same kind of feedback with it. And in a positive light, in the sense that Limbo had a couple, for those that don't know, this is
Playdead,
same people that made Limbo, right. Made this very similar games,
uh-huh.
Both in kind of tone,
look, even to an extent,
look and gameplay and feel. This is a much faster game.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that the puzzles are not as frustrating as Limbo. Not that Limbo was that hard.
No, but I was thinking the same thing where I was waiting for the moment. Like, I remember Limbo where I was talking about this today on Connor Greg Live, where you're running down one roof and there's some of like letters like spelling out a hotel name or whatever, and like one's broken. And I remember that puzzle for some reason halting my progress so hard.
And that's the problem, is like it gets frustrating. And that's kind of what puzzle games are. Is they break you, and then the moment that you figure it out, you feel like a genius.
Exactly.
And then
it's the eureka moments.
Yes, and those are great. And Limbo's amazing at it. I think this game's even better in that it never pushes you too hard, and it's designed to be a short experience. Mm-hmm. It's designed to keep you moving, and I like that they didn't make things too challenging or to take too long or have too many steps. Like, each room is pretty, you know, do this, then do this, then do this, then do this, then you're done. It's not like these 15-step crazy things.
Yeah,
there's
one
puzzle that's a little longer than the others. But I never felt frustrated with not wanting to play anymore because I didn't know what to do. It was always like, all right, what am I doing wrong?
It took me a while, and I would say it's in the last, you know, I was not where I was getting stuck, but where I was having a moment of like, how do I get over there and over there without getting killed? And like, and it was like, when I finally figured it out of like, oh, go over here. And I was like, this is something they taught me a long time ago in a very simple fashion.
Yep.
And I didn't think to, anytime you, if you get to a place where like, what do? Think of what you've done before. Cause I'm not going to say like, I'm not going to say there's like five ways to solve a puzzle, but there's certain things in terms of like, you've done this and it was so easy because it was so obvious. And now we're making it a little more complicated, but take the, you know, the rules or the equations you've learned before and apply them here.
Yeah. I definitely think that the puzzle design was great. I thought the gameplay was really solid.
Yeah.
And like to say that it's good is actually really underselling this game.
100%.
I think that it is a great game. Somewhere even close to fantastic game. I wouldn't give it a 10. I know a lot of people.
This is my problem. And this is not spoilery or whatever. And maybe it'll help you actually. Is my problem with it is that I got hyped for it based on the fact 10 out of 10 game of the year. Oh, you haven't played that? You got to play it. It's amazing. Da da da. I'm like, fuck, we're going to get in. Like, everybody's like, oh, and that ending, I was like, oh shit. This is going to be fun. And I liked Limbo. You know what I mean? I thought Limbo was a great game, especially from a studio we'd never heard of that was like, you know, at the independent booth that one year at GDC. So to sit down with this and go, it was like, oh man, Arky, cool. And wow, it's beautiful. And I do like this. And what is, like, playing in the beginning, I'm like, what is going on? And you start making up in your head. It's like, oh, maybe I'm doing this. Maybe I'm that. And maybe I'm, oh, okay. Da, 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 da. Maybe I'm running from these kind of people. And then when it all was done, I just remember, I was just like, what? Like, I tweeted out, what the fuck was that all about? You know what I mean? Like, because it was just, we'll get into spoilers about it. But like, for me, and this is going to speak to who I am, and it won't be the way you think it is, but stick with me, right? The fact that somebody would say this is game of the year, I scoff and I say, there's no way this is a better game than Uncharted 4. And I know the haters want to say, oh, well, of course, Uncharted 4 is a PlayStation exclusive. He's a PlayStation fanboy. That's the argument. My argument here is that Inside, great gameplay, beautiful, good puzzles. I feel like it fails at storytelling. And I love Uncharted's story, and that's what I go into a game for. Gameplay alone isn't enough. Colin's always hashtag gameplay is king, right? But I won't touch a Mega Man game with a 10-foot pole. I respect what it is and why it's great, but it's not my kind of game, because just getting punched in the face over and over and overcoming little challenges like that isn't enough for me. And so, like, when we get into spoilers, we'll go into the thing, and there's a secret ending, and I went and watched all that, and I watched like a 9-minute YouTube video from some guy laying out all these theories, and I was just like, made me work too hard for it, and I don't think anyone's nailed it, and I don't think it's that interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that for me, that's why it's what I think it'll come down to for a lot of people. It probably is a great game. I have a bad taste in my mouth because I let it get expectations set where I was like, say, honestly, the same exact same thing that happened with Oxenfree, where everybody's like, dude, Oxenfree is fucking rad. It's right up your alley. You're going to love it. And I played, I was like, this is good, but Oxenfree probably great. I want, you know, when we did the let's play of it, except for when it wasn't running well, I was like, oh shit, no, this is really good. And I'm like, I got to go back and play that.
Yeah, the game of the year talk, I can't support that at all. I do think it's a great game that does a lot right and does very little wrong. I think it does a good job of story. It just isn't necessarily the story that I would tell.
Sure.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate them doing something different. It is very artsy. It is very pretentious, and it is very.
You think it's pretentious?
Oh yeah.
How so?
I mean, like, we'll get spoilery stuff for that. But I definitely think it's worth playing, just in the sense that it is an experience. That it is a perfect game for what it's trying to be, I think, and it doesn't last longer than it needs to. I thought that I was never doing the same thing over and over. I love Limbo a lot. Limbo is definitely one of my favorite games of the last generation.
Sure.
And playing this, I felt like it was a nice successor to it. I think it has much better gameplay than Limbo did.
I agree with that.
I think that the overall tone and vibe and emotions it gave me were a lot better, but I still like Limbo better. I think Limbo's story was better. And I think that Limbo just did something that I really, really appreciated. Whereas this one, I'm more like, I see what you did. I see what you did.
Yeah.
You know? Let's move on over to spoilers.
So now we're going to spoilers.
You should play this game. Leave. Go play the game. Come back and watch this. I liked the not knowing what was going on and the story kind of being a little bit more like random and weird, because I do feel like there was a sense of progression. And yeah, in the very beginning, you're walking, guys start shooting at you. Definitely creates a sense of holy shit,
right?
This game don't give no fucks.
Yeah,
you know, like it's really intense.
See, for me, I thought we were building when we started the story that we were going to get a story, because at Limbo, there was always the thing, it's interpretation. You're in the limbo, the space between spaces, you're trying to find your sister or your girlfriend. I forget what they used to say, because they said one time what it was and like whatever, but there's so much open interpretation. So when we start, and like the first thing I remember seeing that was like, what the fuck's going on? It's like that truck, right? And they slam it down and there's people in the back. And I'm like, holy shit, is this like a Nazi game? Am I like running from, you know, the SS or something?
That's exactly what I felt too.
And there's dogs and all stuff. I'm like, oh fuck. And I'm like going. And it's like, you get to the pigs and the pigs are all wiped out except for the one, and you pull the thing out of his ass and you're like, oh, one of the mind control worms similar to Limbo. I don't know if it's in the same universe or whatever, but I'm like, cool. Okay. It's sci-fi. Has there been an alien invasion? Are these body snatchers? What's happening? You get to the factory, you're blending in. I'm like, this is awesome. This is a really cool gameplay mechanic. I like everything that's happening. I can't wait to find out what these people are up to. And you go, and you get chased by the monsters. And then we get to the research facility or whatever. And like, people are pressed up against the glass, and it's the first time you can walk over to the glass, and they just look at you and look away. They don't care. They just don't even, and I'm like, what's happening? And I get in there, and there's this weird blob thing. Oh my God, I'm going to free it. And then it sucks me in. And I'm like, I am the blob. Oh, I was a little piece of the blob that's been trying to get back to home forever. This is really cool. Bob. And I remember when we went downstairs and like, you're smashing through walls. That was awesome. That was such a great changeover, right?
Very super Metroid-esque.
Like, I guess this whole thing comes down to, I like this game a lot, actually, now that I'm talking about it. Just like you're talking about with Gia. But it's just like, it all is it's just a poopy ending. I tear the thing off the incinerator, and I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm going to roll into the incinerator and kill myself because I'm a monster. And like, that's all I wanted. I don't want them testing on me anymore. Fucking rad. That's a really cool ending. Try to roll in there a million times. No. Oh, light the box on fire, throw the box. All right, cool. What am I doing with the box? How did I? Oh, whatever. It doesn't matter. Go over throwing the thing. Oh, do I have the collective? Am I not? Was I the boy the whole time? And now these are just, we all have a collective conscience and we've sucked together people and they're not reacting. Okay, well, I'm free and I'm tumbling down and I'm like, all right, cool. Now I'm going to, it's going to set it up that I'm destroying the world. Like, that's what I was. And nope, just going to lay here like a beached whale on the side of the ocean. What the fuck is going on? Like, what is the point of all this?
I mean, so like you made mention to this earlier on my drive to work today. I was talking to Gia, and like she was asking me, she's like, "Oh, you played the game last night. What did you think about it?" And I was kind of telling her, which is really weird for somebody that doesn't play games.
Sure.
She was like, wanted to know about it. And I was explaining to her like the gameplay and the story of it. She's like, so what's the story?
Yeah.
And that's when I realized how much I enjoyed the story of the game. Where I was like, huh, like I. As pretentious and abstract as it is, they did give enough to kind of, I think all the Nazi imagery and all of the limbo hints and stuff was to sidetrack us into thinking it was going that direction.
Yeah.
And then making it a bit more abstract kind of leaves it to up to your interpretation. But I do think that there's some very clear, like the idea of control. That is the theme and the story of
it. But that's my whole thing. I was like, fine, but then give me a punctuation point. Because that was the thing when I tweeted out, like, what the fuck was that? Somebody responded, he's like, it's about control. Who's controlling you? Blah, blah. I'm like, I'm controlling me. I'm the fucking kid. Or maybe I'm the blob. Or then I went and watched the secret ending and there's some dude over there that represents me. I'm like, come the fuck on, guys.
The secret ending, I love. But I love that
it's, I hate it. I'm like, this isn't an art house. It is an art house game. But that's not what I want out of fucking video
games.
That's
why I think the secret bit, the fact that it's not the actual ending, that it is some extra stuff. I like that. Because that is some super, let's just break the fourth wall and be meta for the sake of being meta because we're pretentious.
Yeah.
But the game itself, like I thought that the gameplay was solid enough to support the story, to support all of the not getting the answers to all of the things. I thought that the puzzles were really clever and I never felt like I was doing anything too long. And every room felt like it had a reason, similar to Limbo, where I felt like each area, like moving from one to the next, kind of made sense. This game kept me asking questions. Like I never got answers, really. It's just more questions. And I liked that. I liked that at the end when you're the blob and you fall down and from the research facility into like the museum thing and you fall on the scale replica of the mountain that you break out onto at the end and you kind of fall right where you land at the end.
Mm.
That's where it's just like, this shit's getting super real. You know, you don't know it at the time, but I was like, it's a really different looking environment compared to the rest of it. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you're in
I didn't notice this, no.
There's like a diorama of the mountain that you end up on.
Okay.
So it's almost like it's even predestined that you're going to break out of the thing.
Yeah.
So then all this shit happens and it's weird that some of the guys help you and some of the guys don't.
And that was the thing of just like, I'm like, why am I an alien? Like, what is going on? Are you alien? You're like, what's...
Then there was the little mermaid, like the scary looking mermaid thing.
Yeah.
That was horrifying.
Sure.
You know, the game is scary. Because, again, it's one of those games you go into and you don't know what's happening. So when things kill you, like, oh, my God.
When that first dog, like, when I was running from him and you just get there, I'm like, that was really good. That was really well done.
Man, those dogs, like, rip you apart. Yeah. When those guys come out and start shooting you, didn't expect that at all. And we were talking about this earlier, but something that I think that this game bests Limbo in is the sense of pacing and the moment-to-moment action. There's never a moment where you have more than just enough time to make the jump. It's like in Uncharted in that way, where when you're running, there's dogs chasing you. You better be holding right the entire time and jump at exactly the right time or else those dogs are going to viciously kill you.
Yeah.
Limbo always had the problem of it felt like there was not enough time or it felt like there was way too much time that it wasn't active, you know?
Sure.
There was that one, not puzzle, but like light puzzle where there was the dogs in the fence and you need to like kind of pull the things. That felt so tense.
Oh, super tense, yeah.
And I think that scene to me, in addition to the opening scenes of the game and the whole mermaid thing, were really what brought it all together. And that the scene where you walk into the room and there's the gravity of the water is flipped and like it looks like there's all the people hanging but upside down.
Yeah.
Like those moments were like, man, the level of detail and thought put into every single thing on screen, the way the camera moves, the way that you're constantly moving left to right, you never go forward or back, but somehow the camera moves you. So sometimes you are, you can interact with objects, but it always makes sense. The animations, there's so many animations in this game. The boy, the way that he gets onto this box looks different than the way he gets onto a different box. The way he pulls this looks different than the way he pulls that. And it's always very contextual to the environment that he's in, the people around him or things around him or whatever's going on. And it feels good. And I felt like the game kept rewarding me visually. And through that stuff, you kind of like get all the little, the narrative bits. And I think that it did a good job of kind of being like the walking simulator that we always talk about when in more of a first person 3D environment. It did that for a 2D platformer.
I just wish
with
I had
gameplay elements.
More though. Answers is all. You know what I mean? That's the one thing is I just don't like that. I don't know what I am or what, not even what I am, whatever. I would have been fine, but it was like, yeah, did they make the blob? Is the blob the thing? Were these people before? And I know that like that's their whole point or whatever, but it's just like, I don't like that. And we're discussing it fine. And it's like, well, it gave you something to talk about. It's like, well, yeah, but I would have talked about this game regardless if it just had an ending that was a little more conclusive. All I want is everyone to be afraid of the blob, and then the blob gets out.
Yeah, I guess.
And then it does stuff. It does, because it rolls into the hill, and it's like, is it dead or alive? I don't even fucking know.
Yeah, I think my problem is I don't like that end. Yeah. And I think that
then fuck you. There's your game.
I think that
I wasted 3 hours of my life. You had a great time.
There is no satisfying end to this. I don't think there's a way that they could have answered.
No way. You roll down the mountain, and then there's a city. And it's just you tumbling down the mountain, and then you hear screams, and they roll credits, and you see like explosions and smoke, and that's...
I don't know.
Totally. I just think that
it's like with this game, this setup, that doesn't give me enough answers. Like, what the fuck's up with the mermaid girl? Like, what the fuck's
up
with
she was one of their experiments, I assume, right?
Oh, there's a lot in it that I'm like, that just like, why are the people hunting you? And like, why is there so much like the pigs and stuff? Like, why is there so, it's not just experiments in the field, it's experiments everywhere.
Right.
The weird blob that you are, is it just humans? Is the pig in there? The sounds they were making sound like the pigs earlier. Mm-hmm. Like there's too much answers that it's just, I feel like a definitive end wouldn't be able to wrap all that up in a way that makes sense.
Sure.
So it's like, all right, leave it open. And again, it's not giving them the pass. Like, this is an art game and it's not for everybody. It's like looking at a painting and coming up with whatever bullshit you want out of it. But I feel like there is bullshit stories that I came up with that I'm like, huh, like the mermaid thing, what the fuck's going on with it? I don't know. But it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, my assumption was that they're like, you know, they're like me, that I'm a grown version of that or something. Not that the water version necessarily, but they took, you know, this one prototype and, you know, morphed it like a gremlin into many different forms.
Yeah. I mean, to get super pretentious, thinking back on it, when I was talking to Gia and she was like, what's up with the murder thing? I'm like, it was super scary. You're running away from it. And that, going back to the whole control idea, like, I think the game tells a really specific narrative, that there's a through line throughout the entire thing of people being obsessed with being unique and trying to be their own person and trying so hard to be their own person that they're running away from the conformity. The entire game, you're seeing people in line, and even the sections you have to actually get in line and do the things. And all you're doing is trying to avoid doing that. Then there's this mermaid thing that's chasing you, trying desperately to run away from it. But at the end, you have to just run to it because it's the only thing that can help you get forward. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I saw it as you need that thing to be able to breathe, even though it's the last thing you want. Then you move forward and then you go, and it's like, you're trying so hard to stay away, but at the end you're just a fucking blob. Like, it's all going to end as just a goddamn blob.
So you're saying we're all blobs.
We're all just a blob.
We're all blobs.
And then especially the diorama thing is really what brought it back to me, where I'm like, okay, they do have a vision for this. Mm. There is an idea. There's some shit that I still don't even have any theory on, like the shockwaves.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fun as hell.
Yeah.
Super cool and a fun thing to do and very visually. And,
how long did it take you to realize the thing had to keep moving? The pinwheel. Because I went up and stopped it and then went up the ladder and then blocked it there and then went to the top. And I was like, I hopped down and ran and I'm getting blown away. And I kept doing it. I'm like, I'm missing something. And then finally I was like, oh, fuck. Don't stop it. Just run up with it and take it. And
I think I got really lucky with that.
Yeah.
Because I just did it. You know,
that one took me a while.
I think I fucked up and was just running forward.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it just happened to work out.
Gotcha. In terms of stopping points, there was that one for me. And then Speaking of, like, you know how you're talking about the dogs and the fence?
Yeah.
Same idea with the swimmer, where you swim down and hit the button and the door comes up. And I was like,
you have to go back, I'm like, dip do your
I
have toe to
f- in. Exactly. I'm like, do I have to feather it? Like, I was going down and hit it, and then it would go up and I would hit it, and I would try to, you know, I would just get eaten every time. Like, maybe I go under and nothing. Fuck. And that took me a while to be like, wait, fuck.
Yeah. The use of color in the game, I also thought was beautiful. But again, very reminiscent of a lot of the Nazi stuff going on. With like Schindler's List, you know, like they did the color stuff, same thing here.
Yeah.
And then obviously a lot of throwbacks and just like visual touchstones of Limbo. So that stuff was, I thought, really well.
It's a great game.
Well done. It is a great
really
game.
Really well. I personally wasn't happy with it.
But I think my thing is the I am shocked at how good the puzzles are and the gameplay being so good for something that if it was just hold right the entire time and get this story.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, no. You didn't earn the artsy bullshit. Yeah. I think they earned the artsy bullshit through the gameplay. And I think that's why I'm okay with the end that we got. And okay. I'm okay with all of the other things.
You've made me feel better about it.
For sure. I'm trying to think of the puzzle specifically that stood out to me. The one I was saying that
yeah, had too many parts. What was?
It's the one where you're in the big ass room and then there's the you need the 20 bodies.
Ah, yeah, on yeah,
the
yeah, thing, yeah.
And then you have to go all over this giant map. Which, again, not complaining, it was different than the rest of it, so I thought that was cool, but every other section had you going through a bunch of different rooms. That was just one big room, and you had so much to do. But again, it was creepy as fuck. Like, what's going on with those guys?
Yeah.
Again, the other theories and shit, there's a lot to be said about the social commentary of the people chasing you being in suits and the random mindless motherfuckers being all the construction workers and, like,
blue-collar
dudes. Yeah. All that stuff. Don't know what's up with that. That's, to me, that's a fairly cheap, artsy answer. It's, it's social commentary.
Sure.
Like, no shit. Everything is, you know.
Portillo's social commentary.
He is.
He doesn't like the bourgeoisie.
Anyways, I definitely recommend playing it. If you haven't already, somehow, play Limbo. I think Limbo is
Limbo's really good. Great.
Play Limbo first before you play this. But yeah, I liked it.
I liked it too. I feel bitter at it. Just because I felt like it was just building to this great, here we are, we're going to have an awesome moment, awesome conclusion, and I just felt the conclusion was flat.
Mm. And again, you're right. I think it's because people hyped the ending specifically.
Sure.
Because if they didn't, it's just like, okay.
Well, that was, even when it was like, I guess you're talking about nothing stayed around too long. For me, I stayed as the blob too long. Because like when it happened, I was like, oh, shit. And like you smash out of the glass and you're rolling over people and you're just trucking through walls. I was like, this is awesome. And then when we got to the puzzle solving, where all of a sudden I'm like the blob. And I'm like, I was like, well, this is decidedly cool.
Throwing the
yeah,
the
that was awesome. Lighting the box on fire and throw it over and then grab it and throw it over and grab it.
Yeah, it was. I guess you're right. It was a little bit dragged out, but I feel like you also needed it because it was fun, you know, like the whole game has been so like, okay, I gotta go slow, I gotta slow.
Yeah.
Fuck you all, motherfuckers. Check it out. Inside
Time Warp. Time Warp. Now we're in topic two. This is topic two.
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. We are now in topic two. That topic was thrilling, wasn't it?
I bet we were awesome. I'm gonna kick my feet up when I talk to you. A lot of times we're here and we're buttoned up, a little too profesh, as I like to say.
Profesh.
We're gonna let it all hang out during that inside cast. I'll tell you what.
All 6 inches. So besides Inside, I want to talk about what games we've been playing recently. This is a recurring Kind of Funny Games Cast topic.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had one for a while. Colin, what have you been playing?
Primarily only Adventures of Mana on Vita, which we talked a little bit about a bit on PS I Love You XOXO, but it's basically a remake of the 1991 Final Fantasy Adventures, which was a Game Boy game known as Seiken Densetsu : Final Fantasy Gaiden or Gaiden in Japan, which was released, I think, in 1990. Re-released by Sunsoft in the late 90s on Game Boy Color, although it didn't have much fanfare when it came out because Game Boy was kind of dying at the time, except for with Pokemon, which came out later that year. It's just, so this Adventures of Mana is just a remake because the original one is a Mana game, as people, you know that series now. It's not a fledgling series by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm enjoying it. It's very vanilla. It's just scratching an itch right now. I don't think it's an exemplary game by any stretch of the imagination. It's also broken in a lot of ways.
It's just hitting the buttons though, right? It's what you want out of a game.
Yeah,
right now.
I'm just feeling it. It's very Zelda-like. It's easy. But there is ways to break the game pretty easily by not having certain items in certain situations. And I can't believe that they haven't edited that or fixed that in this new game. Basically, there's just RAM limitations on the original Game Boy that didn't allow the game to remember that doors were unlocked or that these use these items called mattocks, which are basically pickaxes to get through like whole, like cracks in walls. You make holes in the walls, and the game just didn't remember that they were there. So there are ways to get trapped in multiple places in the game. And the Vita could certainly remember that these things were unlocked. So I don't know why they didn't edit those things out. So I did get stuck in a specific place, and Erin actually helped me get out of it, which was funny.
How?
She, we told on PS I Love You, but basically there's a new game, continue and load game option at the screen. She was playing around and she died. She was like trying to get, she doesn't really play games. So she was just kind of messing around, and I kept going to continue my game. And she went to load game and loaded it and loaded me outside of the castle that I was in.
Good job, Erin.
So she totally fixed it. But nonetheless, it's just scratching an itch. It's cheap. I think people might enjoy it. Also might send Square Enix a good message about maybe bringing I Am Setsuna and some other Vita games over. Although they're being pretty generous with the Vita, with Dragon Quest Heroes 2 and with Dragon Quest Builders. Final Fantasy Explorers. Exactly. So they are supporting the Vita in a AAA capacity. And I don't mean these are AAA games, but in a AAA publisher capacity more than almost anyone else. So that's basically all I've been playing, and I've just been messing around with this, that, and the other thing. But that's basically the extent of it.
Cool.
I've been doing a bunch of smaller things. We played Inside last night. Obviously, you already saw that topic. But before then, we've been on the road so much, doing a lot of Odin Sphere on Vita, enjoying that. Came back a few, last week before RTX, was playing Pac-Man 256 on the PlayStation 4. Enjoying that.
So finally.
Yeah, finally.
A year late.
Whatever. It's still fun. I never played it before.
Fucking awesome.
It's a really good game. Yeah. Had you played it a lot on what was it, mobile before?
Mobile.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Almost bought a mobile game. Teen Titans put out their Teen Titans Go iPhone thing, which is Pokemon, but you actually make them fight and stuff like that. You're collecting Teen Titans figures. Almost did it. Didn't do it. $3.99. I was like, for something I'm not going to play too much, I can't get into it.
Yeah.
But Odin Sphere, I've been really, really enjoying it. I forgot how much I liked that game because that, you know, when that came, that's a definitive moment for me of that coming to PlayStation 2. And me still living with Micah, which is like when I first moved, the first 9 months I was here and working at IGN, he was so into that game and I enjoyed it, but I liked Grim Grimoire more and I was reviewing that at the time. To now to get to play it and have it be such a great fit for the Vita where I'm jumping in, I'm playing. All right, cool. Oh, how did I only get an A on that level? Go back, or that fight as it would be. Go back, try to S rank it. You look at the map and realize I haven't, you know, before I progress the story, go back and try to clear out these entire expanses to go get the rest of my equipment, get my S ranks and stuff like that. It was scratching the itch, similar to what Colin's talking about, where, you know, Odin Sphere is a product of its time. It's not like the most deep game in the world, right? You grow fruit, you eat the fruit, you get the XP, everybody's happy. But I'm enjoying playing through it again. I'm enjoying getting out there. I'm very excited for Galgun. That's what I'm waiting for right now. Because I'm going to platinum the perv game Galgun.
The plan is to do it in stream.
If possible. Mm. I don't know. Come on, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Who knows how much rubbing and shooting
so much
orgasm and I got to do this. But last night I started playing a game called Pokemon Go.
Somebody
already took
world.
My name by the
Me
time
too,
I got there.
Dude. It's garbage.
Annoying for the game over guy that took it. Kevin's raising his hand like he took it. You got Kind of Funny, Kevin? Good job.
Yeah. I mean, whoever Tim Getty's out there, real talk, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Yeah.
Not cool at all.
They got you.
I feel like I got Nick_Scarpino'd.
This is the whole reason I don't use Snapchat. It's probably the whole reason I won't play much more Pokemon Go. Also, it's not that interesting of a game. Everyone's crazy about it now.
No, for sure. I mean,
night one was fun to have the Pokemon on Portillo's head or whatever, but I'm never going to play it again.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing is, like, you're talking about it being stuck in this room. The amount of people going out, like, actually trying to go get them all. And once it gets to the higher level stuff of getting the more rare
Your
Pokemon
Louvre
stuff,
Pokemon.
That shit's fun. That's cool. And I like that idea of, especially when you think about conventions, like things like PAX.
No, I get it. It's
stuff.
Got a lot of potential.
And when they add to it, I think there's a lot of potential with this game. And like seeing the stories people have had about going out and trying to find Pokemon, bumping into other people doing the same thing because the gyms are at like locations and monuments and like all these like
it's cool
places. I think it's really cool. The question is, how long does this last? But I think that it doesn't need to last forever.
No.
I think that it's as long as they keep adding to it, the people that enjoy it are going to keep doing it. It's not supposed to be this crazy. It's a Tamagotchi thing.
I know.
You know, it's just like it isn't a full fledged.
I'm not saying I hate it or something or it's horrible. It's just not like I get it. I played it. I was like, okay, cool. This isn't what I'm going to keep playing, but I enjoyed it for the night and I've enjoyed watching people finding all the Bulbasaurs in their bathroom or who like everyone is talking about it today. The entire Twitter feed is pictures of it or conversations about it.
I wonder how long that's going to last. You know, like with Miitomo, it lasted a lot longer than I thought it was. Like there was that initial craze of everybody. And it's again, it's the thing of supply and demand of when not everyone can have it, the people that do have it make everyone else think it's the coolest thing in the world.
Sure.
So the fact that it wasn't on the iOS American App Store for so long, yeah, I think really kind of contributed a lot.
Xavier Woods wouldn't shut up about it. Every tweet from Austin, blah, 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 where is it?
Yeah, and again, obviously it's Pokemon, so that is going to sell it alone, but I think also the fact that it was all the biggest group didn't have access to it, I think caused a lot of the stir and commotion. But now that everyone has it and it's not even working everywhere is the most frustrating thing. Mm. It's always hard with these online games where it's like, okay, how did you not prepare your servers for this? Like, did you not expect everybody to download the Pokemon AR game?
The free Pokemon.
Yeah, AR, like, come on. But then it's like, I don't know, is there a solution to that? Probably not.
Apparently
like, they
not,
probably did know. Yeah,
it's every
like,
other
every
game.
Other game. It's like, they know that they're going to get hit super hard, and there's not really a way to kind of prevent that. So
as
it's
Pokemon,
been annoying trying to, but I haven't been able to really do much.
Really, I was going to say, yeah. I want to know what if it's your dreams come true.
No, no, God, no. This is not my dreams come true. Is it cool? And
yeah.
Like, is it a nice kind of hint at the future and what could be? Yeah, and I definitely think that it's a good start, and for Nintendo to be doing things like this is great. Like, different gameplay styles and like new innovations and stuff, or innovations that are not new, but are now finally being viewed by the mainstream because it's Pokemon. Like, Niantic did their shit before, but no one gave a fuck. You know, now everyone at least knows what this could look like. And yeah, it looks like admittedly higher quality Pokemon models than I ever expected to see in admittedly lower quality scenarios of them just kind of popping up in a camera.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like, it's, I give them an A for effort, you know? Again, I don't think that there's a fun game there, but I think that the idea of the gyms and seeing where a lot of other people are at with screenshotting, like you get to choose kind of the team that you end up following, like the Team Rocket style thing, and seeing the gyms, like last night I was laying in bed and seeing where the things are in relation to where I live, it's like, that's cool. Like, I wouldn't ever think that they'd be there, but looking at the map, it's like, it's just fun. It's
where
just
is
fun
the there. San? Where are the San Francisco gyms? Are they at the Golden Gate Bridge and stuff? And
there's a whole bunch of them. Grimecraft holding it down. Grimecraft has a team of like 1,000 Zubats, and they're all hella high leveled. And
of course, just, Grimecraft
it's
does.
Funny though, but I know he was holding down a gym over the last couple of days. And like, that's funny. And seeing all the Rooster Teeth people play, like, they look stupid as shit.
Sure.
They're all running around.
But everybody looks dumb doing it, yeah.
But it's like, it's cool to see them, like Ashley Jenkins, holding down a gym out in Austin. And it's like the idea of that, once it gets to be a more competitive thing, there actually is people that are challenging, holding down the areas. That is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And again, once it gets to the traveling, I'm excited because we travel.
Sure.
So it's like,
you get them rare ones.
We're still in that early part where, great, okay, I got my starter, I'm seeing some Pidgeys, we'll go through there. But it's like, once we get to like the more real shit, I think.
That's why I want the AR Animal Crossing game, so I can go to Austin and get a peach and bring it back and plant it in my AR Animal Crossing backyard.
Yeah, it'll be thrown. But I mean, that really is the what we're going to be seeing,
sure,
right? And like, that's the stuff that works with these types of
it's cool to see people celebrating and have fun with it.
Yeah, and it's Pokemon. Pokemon's awesome, so.
People do like Pokemon.
Yeah.
What else have you been playing?
I like that it's the OG Pokemon. What's up?
What else have you been playing?
I've been playing a whole bunch of, I mean, I want to give a shout out to Gang Beasts because we've been playing a lot of Gang Beasts at different events and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
For anybody that hasn't seen it by now, the Kinda Funny versus Screw Attack panel we did at SGC is live over on youtube.com/screwattack. And it's an hour of us just playing a bunch of different games, ending in Gang Beasts.
Yeah.
That game is always fun as hell. We did it also at Let's Play Live when we were graced by Colin's presence as well.
You're welcome.
And the final round was
we did a Let's Play at E3 with Tim Schafer that went live on
the
channel. There's a bunch of just, yeah, there's a bunch of Gang Beasts Let's Plays in general on
PS4
our channel.
As well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Finally. But like every time I play that game, I'm reminded of like how awesome it is. But, and Nick always jokes about like, dude, we should get really, really good at Gang Beasts and just fucking fuck everyone's day up. I don't know if anyone is really good.
Yeah.
At
it's that thing. Every time we play it, I feel like it's a game we play all the time. And when we play it, there's always that thing of like, wait, why, what is it again? And why? And like, I'm in there and I'm alternating lefts and rights. And I'm like, here we go. And like, I know that I was like during the Screw Attack thing, Chad wasn't, and he was still knocking me. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm hitting you with two fists. They should go down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's such a funny game, and I think
that
it's designed around not necessarily winning, but more just like creating funny scenarios.
Exactly, exactly.
So, it's very visually funny, comedic game.
I always have a lot of fun with that. Going back, it was my birthday, and last year I played through Crash Bandicoot 1, and I wanted to do a stream of Crash Bandicoot 2 this year, but we were traveling, so I was going to RTX, and I really wanted to play it, especially now that the games have been announced that there's going to be remakes on them, and that's super exciting to me. Obviously, for anyone that doesn't know, I'm excited about this.
He's very excited.
Yeah.
Very popular E3
But I'm
video.
Upset because I can't play it on the Vita. I've talked about that
here we go.
A bazillion times, but I was like, why am I bitching about this? I can just bust out my PSP and play it there. So that's what I did.
Yeah.
Didn't have, my charger doesn't work anymore, but Greg Miller, the one household in the world that still has a PSP charger just ready.
Well, did you like how I knew it was one of three places? And mm-hmm. there are probably multiple. And when you walked in, like, do you have a PSP charger? I'm like, yeah, it's either in the controller drawer. I had this bag with old gen stuff, or it's under here. You go check those two places. I'll check this one. Immediately found
Immediately had it. And it was awesome. So my PSP somehow still totally works. The battery's still charged on the plane. Didn't need to plug it in. I just played the entire time. Beat Crash 2. And man, Crash 2 is awesome. That is what, like, it is from like Uncharted to Uncharted 2. Where it's like Crash 1, playing through it, like I almost believed you guys telling me that those weren't good games. And Crash 1, it, you know, it has its issues and its difficulty spikes, and the save system's fucking atrocious and the controls are a little bit janky. But Crash 2, man, like it's a good platformer. Like it's really good.
I'm going to play through them all start to finish when that remaster comes out just for you, Tim.
Thank you.
Just
for you. I appreciate that. We'll do, I want to start with 2 though.
We'll do full plays. No. I want to start with 1. And I'll go all the way through, and you'll have to sit next to me, and you'll hear me bitch and complain and scream at it.
I'm excited to play through 3 as well, because 3 was my favorite growing up, but I don't know if it's going to be able to beat 2, because 2 is really solid.
Now, do you want to talk about picking Crash Team Racing?
And then there's Crash Team Racing.
And then you lost it.
I did.
That was
it.
Your game. Yes. That was your one.
Yes. First off, not to peel the fucking curtain back, we were supposed to win and lose every other match
you
for
didn't,
the things.
You didn't win. You didn't lose that on purpose.
I'm not saying I did.
He didn't throw it, guys.
I didn't throw it, but I threw the third round of it for sure when it looked like I was coming back. Absolutely.
I know. I'm just fucking.
And anyway, even then, it's. I'm not saying I'm good at it. Never said I was good at it.
I know. So I stand by that.
But I do stand by Crash Team Racing being the superior car.
Better than Mario Kart.
Fuck yeah, man! Absolutely.
Of that generation, yes.
Well, yes, it's better than Mario Kart 64. What I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it might be the best car racer ever, though.
Well, no, because remember, then there was Mario Kart Double Dash.
Yeah,
which was better.
I do remember that.
Which
was also Mod Nation Racers. So,
but I'm not throwing that out. I mean, if you want to put Mod Nation Racers out there as a better one than Mario Kart Double Dash, I mean, I don't. I think you're crazy, but I respect the choice. No. If it wasn't the load times, it'd be a different story about Mod Nation Racers to this day.
But I do make it again. I do also want to give a shout out to the PSP because it is
beautiful piece of hardware.
Fucking fantastic.
Hadn't held one in so long, and I took yours and held it. I was like, damn, I missed
it. Feels
this.
Good.
I missed this system.
It feels so good.
Yeah.
That springy, weird thing of the UMD when you shake it. Nice.
Yeah.
I love the D-pad.
You were holding
the
that was an original chunker. That wasn't any of the slim ones.
Yeah.
That wasn't a PSP Go.
I don't want
Go.
That slim shit. I don't want that Go shit. No.
The Go. Neither of those were shit, to be clear.
Oh, you mean the Go when you had to like hold it like it was the GBA SP?
I like how you talk like you have Andre the Giant hands. This you're complaining against the Vita too.
It is. Yeah.
You got normal ass hands.
I got some normal ass hands, and I'm still playing with this tiny ass thing. You know how silly you look, Greg?
No, I looked awesome.
Playing on your Vita? You look silly.
People are like, is that an N-Gage over there? Oh, yeah, for the Vita, yeah. No, everyone's like, what the hell is that thing?
Yeah, no. But anyways, so I'm doing a lot of that.
It's hot pink. People like it.
But in terms of like current like games, I haven't talked about this on the show, Overwatch.
Yeah, you're in Overwatch now.
I'm obsessed with Overwatch.
That's
it's
awesome.
So much fucking fun. But every couple nights I just pop in, play for a bit. I love it because it reminds me of Smash Bros in the sense that it's fun, even if you're not good. I haven't really played with friends yet, which I would love to do. And I'd love to get anybody here that actually gives a shit to try it. Cause it is cool. It's really refreshing that it's not, team deathmatch over and over. And you don't really need to be good at killing people. You can just kind of like be supportive and help, having all the different heroes that you can play as. That's where the Smash Bros thing comes into me, where it's like, you have your main character that you go to, but it's still fun to play as the other ones. And I really like that in the game, you switch between the characters in the match. So if your team's not, the strategy's not working, you can, what?
Just Kevin.
Yeah, I
just
know.
Kevin.
What's even happening?
Kevin was reaching back blindly to grab his power cord and grab the cable that comes out of the wall that goes nowhere. The coaxial cable.
And then what did I do?
Then you grimaced and went further back and got the power cord.
All right.
Just saying.
Success story.
So but Overwatch,
yeah,
I played on
PS4.
I played a little bit. It seems cool, but I left it behind. But if I was playing with people, I think I'd be more interested.
I mean, that's my thing is I'm having so much fun without people. With people, I'm sure it's a whole other level. I want to try playing with my boy Andy Cortez.
He sucks.
He plays on all the systems.
So oh,
it's
wow,
like
that's cool.
He has all the different teams.
He has no allegiance.
Mm-mm.
Similar like how he works at Rooster Teeth, helps us out all the time, then talks shit about us to Rooster Teeth.
It's true.
I hate him.
Yeah, worse. Me too.
No, do you want to come over this weekend and bring Kevin and then we all set up the Overwatch room out there and we have TVs on? Okay, cool.
No. But I do want to play with you.
Okay.
At some point. So we should do that. What else is there? We missed anything else? Games we've been playing?
No, because I mean, we've been on the road so much that I've limited it to Vita and I've been trying to focus on Odin's when I'm on there. Because I popped in Adventures of Madden. Adventures of Madden would be awesome. Adventures of Mana, I did play for a little bit. And I was like, okay, cool. It wasn't bad, but it was just like not what I wanted. Whereas Odin, it, for me, is the one of like, oh, right. Beautiful. I feel like I'm getting shit done. I'm going through. I can feel the power.
Yeah. And real quick, randomly, I had an urge to play it. Race the Sun on Vita.
Race the Sun, great.
It's a great game.
Pop that shit back
in. Like
Race the Sun's great.
I played it a long time ago, sorry. But I just was like, I just want to play it again.
Yeah.
I played through just for a bit, and yeah, it's a fun game, man.
It's a really cool game. It's an addictive hook to that game.
Yeah.
It's a nice idea. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Very hard to master. It changes dynamically, which is cool.
I like when playing it gives me kind of that roller coaster sensation where like I can kind of feel it like move as I'm doing, which I'm like, wow, it's cool. Just like the way that it looks kind of does that to me.
I also really dig the music.
Yep.
It's just one track, but it's like a great song.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's good. Very good. What have you been playing, Kevin? Get on the mic.
He had to wake up. He took off his comforter.
Just Cause 3.
Oh, you got the season pass, right?
The season pass.
Yeah.
So I had all the DLC.
How's that going for you?
With Just Cause, I like clearing the map. And then I'm like, I'm over the story. So I cleared the map. Took me 3 hours. I did it. It's one of those poor decisions where it was midnight and I was like,
why not?
I'll just try this real quick. And it's like, now it's 4 a.m. What else?
Was it worth it though?
Oh, it's totally worth it. I love that game.
Have you started Overwatch? Because you've been talking a lot about Overwatch
too.
No,
so I installed it 2 days ago and I was about to play it yesterday. And Paul was like, let's watch a movie. I was like,
you're like, right. Sure, it's called Overwatch. And she's like, this movie has no story.
And I wanted to play it today, but I'll be editing, doing videos.
And making a show with me about pizza.
Well, that was the video. And then going to the movies. Yeah. So,
what movie is it?
Maybe tonight.
We're going to go see Swiss Army Man. Mm-hmm. Kevin and I have a big date night planned.
That sounds fun. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Topic 3 of the day. Tokyo Mirage Session wants to know, what are your thoughts on the CSGO lotto debate and how could it possibly affect gaming in general?
I mean, the debate in general, right? What's the debate? Is if they did something wrong, if they did something right, where they all feel, how we feel about them?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the big debate?
I guess so. I mean, just for those that don't know.
Bring everybody up to speed, Timmy.
Yeah, I'm going to read IGN's article.
Who wrote it?
You know what? I could tell you, but I'd be lying.
What is that fake name guy? What's his name again?
Joe Scrabbles writes, YouTubers T. Martin and Pro Syndicate have been implicated in a scandal surrounding the Counter-Strike global offensive betting scene. YouTube channel H3H3 Productions and associated with Honor the Call has alleged that both T. Martin and Pro Syndicate have used their channels to advertise a Counter-Strike betting site, CSGO Lotto, without disclosing that they are the site's president and vice president, respectively. They have 5 million YouTube subscribers across two channels, and Pro Syndicate has 9 million. CSGO Lotto, like many Counter-Strike betting sites, lets players wager weapon skins they have won in the game's loot crates. Counter-Strike skins can be valued at $1,000, making this a potentially very lucrative or costly practice. One of Martin's videos shows him winning approximately $13,000 worth of skins. H3H3's video includes clips that show both Martin and Castle using the site. One clip of Martin shows him discussing CSGO Lotto, saying, quote, we found this new site. I ended up following them on Twitter and stuff, and they hit me up, and they're talking to me about potentially, like, a skin sponsorship. The video goes on to show another YouTuber, Scarce, reporting that Martin has previously claimed that he originally used CSGO Lotto in the video as a way to decide whether to invest in the company. However, H3H3 shows company incorporation documents that appear to show Martin as the company founder, dated from before that original video was released. Disclosure lines are present on several of Martin's betting videos, but H3H3 points out that the Internet Archive indicates that these were added after Honor the Call releasing a video alleging Martin's impropriety last week. Failing to disclose that one owns or is being sponsored by a company while promoting it can be seen to violate USA's FTC Act. If the FTC deemed this a breach of contract, both Martin and Castle could be punished. Since H3H3's video went live, Martin appears to have made all of his Counter-Strike Global Offensive betting videos private, meaning they cannot currently be viewed. He also put up that video, then took the video down, kind of
the apology video.
His apology video. Now it's gone, and now he's just saying, I'm not talking about this, because obviously I'm sure there's legal stuff going on. What are your gut reactions to this?
I mean, the gut reaction, right, is that it's a shitty thing. Like, this is the, you know, I always go back to with us, where we left, we founded this business, and we never thought to, like, what's our policy on anything? And then it was on that first Colin and Greg Live, right? We announced it, you know, at 9 a.m., and then we were live at 11. And one of the questions for Colin and I on that day was, like, what's your ethics policy? And we were like, we didn't even look at each other. We're just like, we'll just tell you. You know what I mean? When something's sponsored, you'll know. When Square Enix sends us somewhere, you'll know. Like, we have nothing to hide. We want to be as transparent as possible, you know, overly transparent for the most part. So that's what gets me, you know, not even getting into the nitty gritty of this and what Advile is and blah, 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 blah. It's the fact of like, hey guys, we found this site. It's totally cool. And they hit us. Like, that's the weird part of like, just being weird and lying about that, right? Like, why not just say that you own it? That, hey, we're starting this and we're doing this and this is how it works.
I mean, I think that's it, what they did is even a step like further than even rationally allowed in any way. Because if they just didn't say that they were sponsored and didn't say that they owned it, that's one thing. But to be like, oh, this just came to us. They like actively lied about the whole thing and be like us, you know, saying, oh, we love this game, even, and then not mentioning that it was sponsored and like, you know, totally lying about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think for us, like we are so transparent with everybody that it's like our people trust us.
Sure. You know?
So it's like the question is with them is like, do their audiences trust them? And that's kind of the big issue is that if abusing the trust, and is that illegal? No, that's not illegal. It's just stupid and fucked up for them to do, because why would your audience stay if you're going to be that type of person?
And that's what we're talking about today on Colin and Greg Live, right? Is I feel like with this, and then like I always talk about with like season passes or whatever, you get everyone having an opinion, right? I am not well versed on this. I've watched the video today on Colin and Greg Live. I've heard the news stories. People in our chat were like, it's worse than you guys are making out. Jim says this. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm not trying to make myself an expert on this. And that's the problem, I feel, is that everyone rears up and has an opinion. You know what I mean? Like, Final Fantasy announces X, Y, and Z, and everyone has an opinion, but how many people were going to play that game? We're going to replay that game. What is their core? And that's what I was talking about with us. Like, if we fucked up today and then, you know, we had to deal with the consequences, everyone on the internet would have an opinion, but I'd want to know what Amy and Zyger and Devin and Lindsay and like Joey and all the core, the people who are consuming the product feel. It's similar like the Fine Bros, right? Like, when their whole Reacts thing happened, and they're like, I didn't subscribe to the Fine Bros. I watch everything when it comes up or do what I have to with it. But like, you know, everybody's like so happy to watch the subscribers fall. And it's like, well, how many of those subscribers were actively watching every video and participating in the community and being in the chat and buying merch and wanting to see its success? And that's what I don't know about these guys. Of like, I've never watched their videos. I've heard their names before, but it's not my kind of content, obviously. So it's just like, does their audience expect them to be held to the standard that we are? And like, obviously I think they should be. And that's obviously the best part about this, you know. On Game Over Greggy this week, we talk about police brutality and all this different stuff and like how talking about it helps, but is that enough anymore? And it's so crazy and stressful right now. As we still write the rules and all these different things about YouTube, I feel like this is a good example of like, okay, cool. And now they're a huge channel, right? Tons and tons of subs. You see that now as that starts to spread out, you see our message spread out, you hope that there's other people out there who are either starting it or maybe they've skated by. Maybe they are doing something similar to this. They go, okay, well, this is how badly it can go. We have to learn from this.
Yeah, I think the drama side of it is the most interesting to me, in the sense that like people latch onto that so much, and obviously drama gets clicks and drama does, like, you know, people are interested in that. And all of a sudden we're talking about Counter-Strike Go.
Yeah,
you know,
Sean, like, Finnegan here, but here we are talking about it.
I know, it's shocking. But it's crazy to me that seeing that on IGN, seeing multiple reports and updates on an IGN, because that's just so outside of their, that's a Kotaku thing for sure.
Sure.
But to see a website that like the IGNs of the world are covering this, that's crazy, because you don't see IGN covering like, oh, this YouTube channel just launched a new show.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Sure. But yet they're covering this random ass sponsorship deal thing. I just think that it's really interesting that like even H3 Productions, the guys that kind of exposed all of this, that's what they do. They expose the drama of YouTube and all this. And they recently got sued for copyright stuff. Like, do you guys know what I'm talking about here?
No.
They got really hit with a big case, and all the YouTubers kind of like rallied against it. Whether or not they like H3 Productions, like, no, you can't just fucking say it's copyright and just because you don't like what he's doing.
Of course.
So Philip DeFranco, Jenna Marbles, like all the top YouTubers put tons and tons of money into supporting him with a GoFundMe so that he can like fight these guys in court. So him doing this makes sense. You know, him exposing this and him kind of getting it out there, because that's how he makes his livelihood, is
right.
drama and exposing all this shit. But it's just interesting to me that, like, legitimate news sites, video game news sites, are covering this in the way that they are.
Well, I mean, it's a story that needs to be told, though, right? I think, I feel like, as again, as these rules are written, as YouTubers rise in popularity, like, even the fact that now, if you're going to put an ad on, if you're going to, if something's sponsored on Twitter and you put it out, you have to put hashtag ad. Like, these are the steps showing you what's happening, because it does reflect poorly on IGN. And when we were there, right, of like, we publish a review, and if we like it or hate it, it doesn't matter if somebody's bought the ad space around there. No, immediately everybody's like, you fuckers knew, it doesn't matter. Da, da, da. And it's like, we have to sit there and go, no, there's a wall between advertising and editorial. We have no idea what's about to go around the sides of the site. That's not how it works. Da, da, da. But then you get to YouTube, you get to us, where it's the complete opposite, where you and I are talking on the phone all the time, or you all the time are talking about brand deals and this, that, and the other. And occasionally I do something where I'm planning like our Comic-Con trip. And so companies are chipping in to send us there if we're hosting their panels and doing all this different stuff. And like, so that immediately has to become that when, okay, cool, like, you know, Square Enix is sending us out, or has worked with us so much for the Hitman stuff. If all of a sudden we were going to do Hitman Let's Play, right? It would, like, and I'm talking about like a review discussion, I guess, more than a Let's Play. But if we're going to do it based on from the event we're about to go to or something, or like they're sending us to comic, Ubisoft is a way better example. Thank you very much, Tim.
You're welcome.
We covered Ubisoft's conference right here. We were very critical of it, all these different things. Then we went to the Ubisoft booth, saw a bunch of games, did a bunch of reacts, but two of them were sponsored by Ubisoft. So they begin with us saying, this is brought to you by Ubisoft. You know what I mean? And take, and like, I stole Colin's line of take it all with a grain of salt, but I really liked that game. And it's not because they paid me. And I talk about, like, I fucking thought I didn't know what the hell Wildlands was when they first showed it. And now I've played it and I really think it's awesome. It's not because they paid us. It's because the game's rad. And that's because, again, our audience understands they can trust us with that authenticity. They understand that we'll tell them those deals, and that the deal wouldn't influence it one way or the other.
I think the other thing, too, that a lot of the people out there might not know is that, at least as far as I'm concerned, most of the people we deal with, I'd say 99% of the
sure.
companies we've dealt with, clients we've dealt with, whether it's game developers or otherwise, they're on our side too, because they want it to be genuine and they want it to be real, because they understand that's where the value is. Just talking about a thing and lying about a thing, they could do that. That's what they do.
That was the whole thing.
They talk about their stuff as if it's this flawless thing. With the Ubisoft call in particular, when we were first getting that deal going for E3, where we did the South Park and Ghost Recon.
Yeah.
They were talking to us and they're just like, hey, yeah, you guys, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
We're literally just sponsoring you, making content, talking about the game. And I'm like, cool, great. We wouldn't do it otherwise.
And that's the whole thing. Yeah, we would never take an opportunity where you muzzled us. You know, the example always is Final Fantasy. They hit us up to host that event, and I was like, I don't think we're the right fit for this. And like, no, I'm like, I don't like Final Fantasy. Like, no, that's why we want you. I'm like, what? And you went through it, and there was no, you know, rules on Colin not being able to make jokes about the release date that day. And like, Layers of Fear. All right, we got to come do these Let's Plays of Layers of Fear that we were hired through our friend's video company, right? And it's like, cool, what if we don't like it? So you don't like it.
I really didn't like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, on that game.
Exactly. It's like, whatever, you know, you have to hide that shit. And like, you know, the other side of that coin is I just got hit up today for some people who want me to host a PAX panel. And it was like, oh, we want to meet this guy. He has panels. And they hit me up and like, great. And it was, they clearly have no fucking idea who they are, because they're like, we want to talk about PC gaming. And I haven't even had a chance to write back, lol, no. You know what I mean? Because like, why would I do that? I can't come out there and be like, hey, guys, who wants to hear about what's awesome in PC gaming right now? Because everybody would laugh me out of the room. They know me. That's the whole point.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that we've done a really good job of it. And obviously, we are very active in looking at your feedback when it comes to all of the content. But specifically, I am interested in the sponsored content. Like, I looked at every comment for those E3 things to see how people feel about it. Are we being transparent in the right way?
Yeah.
I actually really don't like the hashtag ad thing.
Oh, I hate it too, but I mean, it's because it eats up characters. But.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, that is an issue, but I just feel like that also makes it feel more fake than we mean it to be.
Another great example is there's this company that when we did the Cinnamon Toast Crunch selfie spoon thing, right? We got partnered with them, like, oh, we're doing this thing. I'm like, is this work for you? I'm like, that works perfectly. Colin hates selfie sticks. It's a joke for our audience. We'll enjoy the joke.
Yes.
And they've come to me probably with 5 opportunities since then where I'm just like, no, no, no. And they came to me recently with an integration for Star Trek Beyond. And I wrote a draft of it and I kept putting the hashtag ad on the end and it just didn't work. It was a legit from the heart statement, because it was like something about your crew or whatever, and I was like talking about how much you guys mean to me, but then to put hashtag ad on the end, I was like, this cheapens the entire thing, so no,
right,
I can't
it's
do
so
it.
Weird, because yeah. It, had you not had that, it's still clearly sponsored, You know, and I think with tweets, it's a little different because sure. it's hard to be clearly sponsored in that way. Yeah. But for me, a lot of people leave the feedback that they think that in the title of the YouTube videos, we should have sponsored or something like that. Mm, I'm like, no, like that to me makes it feel like dirty. And I think that that does taint the content. Having said that, I am a huge proponent of the video starting with a, this is brought to you by this. So, you know, like it's, I'm not trying to trick anybody.
Right.
I just don't want people.
Well, because I understand what you're saying. When it's put on a billboard like that, it's not that we want to hide it from you. We just don't want you to think that it does. It's no, that it, the sentiment isn't there. That's my thing with how much I love you guys. And I wanted to put it was kind of funny live and then hashtag ad. I was like, that's the wrong message. I can't do that. Yeah. That's not what I want it to be.
I mean, that's the thing is like it's pretty much saying this is a commercial.
Right.
Granted, I understand that to an extent there is an advertisement in it. It is, but our content is still our content.
More than anything, it's a commercial in a TV show.
Exactly. That's the right way to put it. Yeah. Where it's like putting the sponsor thing makes it seem like the entire piece of content is the commercial, whereas we always treat it as if it's the commercial break within the content that we're making. Or my favorite thing is when they're completely unrelated. So it's just like Duracell. Hey, you know, those things are, they're called non-endemic sponsorships when, and those are easy because it's like no one's going to be upset about us talking about South
Energizer
Park,
would be
brought to you by Duracell. Yeah. Energizer would be if we were reviewing Duracell batteries, but yeah, we've talked about this before, but I just think that it's always good to kind of keep people updated. Not everybody right. watches everything. So like I want people to know that we think about this stuff constantly right. and it's so important to us and our business and who we are. And that transparency will always be there. And it's one of those things where we owe it to you. We owe it to ourselves to do all this stuff. And we're going to, and we're never going to stop. And the amount of opportunities we've turned down or not even really looked into because we know, nope, this isn't for us.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. There's a yeah. whole bunch of them.
But that's why we're who we are and why you're here.
You got anything else for us, Carl?
No, not really. I mean, I think with the CSGO thing, I'm just not educated enough on the situation. I mean, I've read and watched videos about it, but I'm just not comfortable enough with what they did, and I just don't understand all of it because it's just not my ecosystem. So, but what I will say is the facts will play out. These people will probably get in trouble for what they did. They probably deserve to get in trouble. It seems like there's a lot of stuff with them kind of preying on like kids with like this kind of stuff, or that's
the 13-year-old stuff.
Yeah, like with the
under 18.
Yeah, like with the betting or whatever, like whatever the fuck's going on. But you know, like I don't know. Like I just don't know all the facts. I'm just not comfortable. But it seems like, you know, I just have an inherent distrust of anything going on the internet. And that goes for both sides. That goes for the people that were doing this stuff with the betting. And that goes for the people that are upset about it as well. Because people can spin their own narratives in any which way. And you see that shit all the time. And some of it's blown out of proportion. And some of it's, you know, I always like to make fun of the dentist that killed the animal, you know, and everyone's it's like, this is a little weird, right? Like why is the whole world mad about this? It's like, yeah, the guy did something wrong, but like, why, this is what we're up in arms about. So with this particular thing, I'm just like, okay, these guys will get their comeuppance probably. I'm often confused why with these particular situations, people don't just ignore them. And what I mean by that is like the FTC and everyone will straighten the shit out. If people have been wronged legally, then they're going to be straightened out in that way. And that's going to be a really painful way for them to be straightened out. But like giving them thumbs down on their videos and writing mean things and all that kind of stuff, I'm like, that's fine. That's their prerogative. That's what you want to do. But I think the most painful thing for those two guys would be is if they just disappeared into obscurity and no one ever gave a fuck about them ever again. That would be the most painful thing for them. They'd hate it. You know, sometimes negative attention is better for them than no attention at all. Yeah. And so it's like the no news is good news kind of thing. It's like, you know, there's just certain ways of looking at this particular situation where I'm like, okay, I don't know all the facts. Seems like these guys are kind of shady. Never heard of them in my fucking life. No idea who they are. So don't know them personally. Can't really judge them on that. Don't know this group that outed them. Can't judge it based on that. The internet gets mad about everything, so you can't really judge it based on that. So I'm like, I just have to kind of step away from the situation and know that I don't have enough information to render a verdict on it, even though I've read a lot about it. I'm just not comfortable doing that. My gut instinct tells me these guys obviously fucked up in a major way. I think that guy's apology video, which he pulled down, was super smug and nonsensical. Him saying like it was a matter of public record. Yes, it was a matter of public record, but you still never said that. A lot of things are a matter of public
the opposite
record.
Of it, really,
yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, many things are a matter of public record. So, but that doesn't mean that your audience is aware of it. So I like Greg said, like with our own content, the only thing I don't care about them, like I care about us, and like our own content is on the up and up, and that's super real, you know, super important. And I think we all keep each other honest. I don't think we even need to keep each other honest because I think we're all on the same page on that.
Yeah.
I think once you lose trust, you lose it irredeemably. And so I think that It's really important to for us as a company to stay above board, and I think we do that. And as far as these guys are concerned, I hurl your YouTube abuse at them if you want. I mean, if that's what makes you feel better, but I think what would be more effective is if they just disappeared, like, because they had no relevance anymore. You know, like that would hurt them more than anything. And so I wish people would play that game a little bit more. Sure. Unsubscribe. Don't give them a view. Don't feed into it. Don't post about them. Just let them fucking disappear.
That's what we all. You know? So many people fall into in Twitter and social media where they're mad about something, so they will retweet it and talk about this person or this thing or this problem over and over again. When they aren't, there's no, what they're doing isn't going to be the solution. It's just being a way to amplify the message.
Like the vagina picture that's going to make the rounds today.
Oh, that's the one about Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Oh, the sandwiches.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's an amazingly fucked up thing. On.
It's ridiculous.
It's amazing in its own way based on how insane that is. And if you read that woman's Twitter account, the funny thing you said about it is she tweeted something yesterday as of we're recording this about, you know, would anybody be interested if she published a book? And I was going to respond to it and just be like, no one cares. But I deleted it because I'm like, well, like,
yeah, what? Yeah. You're
I'm like, I have like what? 25, 35, 50 times more followers than you. More than that. I have, I'm verified. I can attract people to your cause. I'm just putting not eyes on this negative thing. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I can just walk away. Like, so I'm just not going to give it any oxygen. I don't like, on one hand, I'm drawn as anyone is to drama and reading about it. On the other hand, I just think the drama can be eradicated completely by just like nailing them for what they did wrong, making sure it never happens again, learning from it. Other institutions, other groups learn from it. And then just, you know, you made a mistake and you judge it based on that. And if these guys' mistakes are egregious enough and they sound like they are, then they just don't deserve the views. They don't deserve a YouTube channel with millions of followers. They don't deserve all those kinds of things, and they're eventually going to be removed. And you see that happen. I don't even watch YouTube videos, but I see this happen with YouTubers pretty often. People that just fall apart and everyone feeds into it before they disappear. And I'm like, you could feed into it and it makes you feel good, or you could just let them fucking disappear, and I bet you that hurts them way more. You know, so that's where I come from.
That's the pro Colin Moriarty maneuver.
I mean, it's like, it's true, right?
It hurts.
It's true, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys just thrive on attention. Like, it's just not something I...
Yeah,
I,
Phil DeFranco.
Anyway, I gotta go. I love you guys.
Adios.
Have a good show.
Adios, old friend.
Thank you, audience. We love you. Or I love you. I don't know about these guys.
And honestly, you know, real talk, Phil DeFranco, he does a fantastic job always when it comes to this drama shit of presenting the story, giving both sides, and then giving his opinion.
He also gives us a shout out.
Very few people that I think have
things as well as him.
Boogie is the video game equivalent.
Never heard
to
him.
So
kidding.
Check them
Boogie
both
too.
Out. I'm sure. I don't know if he's spoke about this, but I'm sure Phil has. So
okay.
Check that shit out.
I will.
Topic 4, as always, brought to you by you. You can go to kindoffunny.com/gamescasttopic and leave a topic just like all these big, beautiful kids do.
Hey.
And I'll read it on the show. And I was going to give a shout out to Steven Insler again.
Go ahead, feel
you
it.
You know what, Steven Insler? You deserved it.
This Patreon show is producer.
Yours. This show is yours.
Steven Insler.
Pierre Conrad.
Good name.
At Pi Blacon.
Oh, okay. I know that name.
Says,
what the fuck?
Oh, God. Is Nick joining us?
Just wanted everyone to know that all your opinions are terrible. That I'm always right about everything. And that,
oh, you're just filling in for Colin. Okay.
I can't actually hear what you're saying through all the stupidity that's coming out of your mouth. I have to go to Vegas. Excuse me.
Damn.
Colin is out.
That last part really
nailed
really
it. Colin
nailed
was
it.
Out. Colin says that Colin was out all was the time.
Out. What is the story that you want the full scoop on? The Uncharted 4 dev shuffle?
Just stop. Yes. Don't stop. Because then you're going to steal what I'm going to say.
Gotcha.
I don't want it to
get... Gotcha.
I mean, immediately I jumped to Kojima Konami.
Mm-hmm.
I figured it's on the list. But it's one of those that's like the most recent thing where it's like, I would love to know what really, really happened over there. And I don't know how long it'll take for that to get out, if it'll ever get out. And that's always the thing I hate, when you're not sure if it'll ever happen. You know, because it's just so much strife over there. And did they cut Act 3 because of, you know what I mean, the final part of Metal Gear, that chapter or whatever, did they cut it because of time, or did they cut it because of this, you know, when did it get so bad over there, what were Konami's motivations internally as a board, you know what I mean, like, was it everyone was done with him, was it one person, was it the president or CEO that was like, this, he's too big for his britches, and like, and then on top of that, you know, what was it like for Kojima, what was it like for his team to be working under these circumstances where, you know, you're fighting all the, you assume you're fighting all the time and this is going on and you want to get your message out, but you can't, or you know, it's, I'd love someone to write a book about that one day and actually know exactly what was happening and what was going through their heads and what they thought when it started to leak and everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm right there with you. I'm most interested about how it would have changed the game. Like, I really want to know, like, what Metal Gear Solid 5 would have been had Kojima still been with Konami at this point. Would it have been much different? Is there an Act 3? Like, would the game have just, like, told a different story overall? Because, I mean, it is. There's a lot of things that kind of mirror the real life with all of the Metal Gear games when it comes to Kojima. But I think that this one definitely could have veered in a different direction, and I'd love to know what that is.
Sure.
Uncharted, I think, is the other.
The call out, for Naughty Dog with Amy and everything else there. Yeah, that would be fascinating to know in terms of an on the record, here's both sides, what went down in terms of, and that one even more I'm interested because I'd love to know what Amy's Uncharted 4 looked like and what her story was. And then, you know, what, you know, Todd Stashwick was going to be the villain or whatever. He left the project with her. Alan talked about it. Alan Trudeck or whatever, the guy from Firefly, red hair, the pirate from that Sandra Bullock movie. That's how I remember him. He was part of it. He made that joke or whatever. Like, oh, we all abandoned you, Nolan. Sorry. Like, I'd love to know. Like, he made it sound like, like they fired Amy and everybody's like, well, fuck this, we're gone. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, what was that story? What was that thing? What was it like leaving? Mm-hmm. You know, how does everybody feel about that? And that's the thing about, like, the Naughty Dog shuffle there, as you call it, or whatever. I'm going to be fascinated to see how long it takes for that to be mended. Because that, I mean, like, Kojima and Konami, I feel like that's lifetime. We're done. You know, somebody there was like, fuck you. And he was like, fuck you guys, or whatever. And da, da, da. I really feel like the Naughty Dog thing, you talk about a team that's so powerful and so strong and so great at their job. That must have been like a bad breakup for them, and like, because there's so much love there and something went wrong clearly, and this is how it went. And then of course the news and how it got delivered and everything else made it so much worse and kicked up all this shit. And you know, when we were leaving IGN, you know, I remember Fran being like, you know, like, oh yeah, we'll come back and do stuff. He's like, it'll be a while. Like, everybody's, you know, like, I didn't understand it. And then we left, and it was, I had those breakup feelings, right? Where it was like, you see, you know, your ex moving on and doing other stuff. And then, you know, I talked about it on Beyond or whatever, Beyond 450, Colin and I just did, where I'd say something innocent or Max would say something innocent, and then somebody would twist it around and Brian would put up a Facebook post and you have to call and like, this isn't what it was supposed to be. This, nobody meant to hurt each other's feelings, but you did because those emotions were so raw. And now we're to that point where now it's fine. Now it's, everything's totally chill and I don't care. You know what I mean? We hang out all the time and we do content for IGN with IGN.
I still don't like Sean Finnegan.
Nobody likes Sean Finnegan. He hikes too much, but that's going to happen with Naughty Dog at some point, and that'll be fascinating to see. First off, that photo of them together, and then they're sitting on an awesome panel, an awesome interview, an awesome whatever you want to call of like what happened and what that was and where they didn't see eye to eye and how everything got out of control.
Yeah.
But one day that'll be mended. Like, that I assure you will be
mended. Yeah, no, for sure.
Where are you going? God. He's like, I don't want to hear any more about Naughty Dog stories.
Last Guardian is the other thing here.
Yeah.
I feel like that story, it wouldn't be that interesting. I think, you know.
It would be, because I'd love to be in those meetings where Shu's like, give us the fucking game. Or did that never happen? Was it always keep going? Everything's fine. You know what I mean? Like, where did everything happen? I'd love, I mean, branching out from that, I'd love, you know, the course correction of the Xbox One. You know what I mean? We are for that. I'd love to know their E3 conference, what's happening on Sony's side. This could be like the next Console Wars book from Blake Harris or whatever. Not that it would be like that, you know, exciting.
It's
in terms
different.
Of, but what Sony thought of the Xbox conference, what Xbox then thought watching the Sony conference, especially when they start coming at them with like price point, here's how you share your games, da 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 da. And then the complete change, right, of Don Matrick falling on a sword, getting out of there, Phil coming in, like, we have to change all of this and flip that. Like, I'd love to know that inside Xbox story, a no holds barred story of like, here it is, this is where we thought we were, what we were doing, and how quickly that changed. And how there has to be a meeting, right, where somebody in a leadership position is like, we're fucked, back to the drawing board and everything, and I know that we just had E3 and we just talked about all these programs, fix it.
Yeah. I want to know the similar story for Nintendo on like where it went wrong, and I don't know exactly the time frame of it, of what would be most interesting. And I actually think we might be in it now. The story might not even be fully finished.
Sure.
Yet. Cause until we know what NX actually is, I'm not sure that we'll know all of that, because the Wii U obviously was a failure in for all intents and purposes when you compare it to the Wii or even like all the other
even removing
consoles.
Wii, yeah.
So it's like for them to come out with the Wii U and everyone be so confused about what it is and why it exists and, you know, it kind of being a weird, not as good as the other consoles thing and just all that shit. It's like, I want to know why.
If you want to, I mean, for me, honestly, and this is just, you know, an industry professional, I guess, whatever you want to call me. Like, I feel when Nintendo got off track and started really fucking themselves is when the Wii got too popular. The Wii, I always talk about this, you know, when they announced the Wii, they showed the thing, they talked about the virtual console. I was like, fuck yeah. That was the only from that generation of Xbox 360, PS3, and that one. That's the only system I bought at launch. And it was because I had Wi-Fi, but I just gotten Wi-Fi. I just gotten internet in my house, like broadband internet in my apartment. I didn't have an HDTV. So they were like, we're putting out this system. It's going to have a Zelda. It's going to be this new controller. You flip it sideways and you're playing classic NES games. I was like, this sounds like a system built for dorks like me. This sounds awesome. And if I want to go play, you know, the other games, I put in the Nunchuck and there I go. I'm playing like I have a controller and it's different. It's cool. It's something different. And then that Thanksgiving where everyone took that thing home and was like, every grandmother, my mom, her husband, everybody flipped out for it and bought those. And then we always talk about the terrible attach rate. They bought that and they didn't buy games. And then it was everyone's playing Wii Sports. Everybody make mini game compilations. Get another Wii game out and put it with a Wii mode and da da da. And it was like as soon as that happened, it was like that was it for games with them. Like that was where it got off track. Where it was like I was working at IGN at that time, and like when Mad Worlds was coming, we were all like, oh fucking thank Christ, a real game, a game we want to play, a game that is in line with what gamers would want. But that system got so popular that nobody was trying to make games for gamers on it. And yeah. I say nobody, of course Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 are amazing. Of course yeah. Mad World had Zach its moments. I liked Mario Paper RPG.
Which still was all right.
Zack and Wiki wasn't great, but it was, again, like, I remember working there, like Matt and Bozon, like, fucking being so high on Zach and Wiki because they finally had a fucking game, you know what I mean? And that was, I think you look at the Wii life cycle, the Wii timeline, that was one of those games that was probably in production before everyone realized that Ubisoft was making gajillions on Rabbids. You know what I mean? You put out these mini game compilations, yeah. You put out these different things, and it was
Link's crossbow training. You know, it was just gimmick, and like who can create the most unique, fun, cheap experience.
And we always talk about, you know, we talk about all the time with like when you track Nintendo consoles and decline, right? It's like, you know, N64 and it's GameCube and then it's Wii. And if you remove Wii and you just look at then Wii U, you see it's the exact same thing. There was an anomaly, and I really think Nintendo looked at it and was like, we can do it again.
Yeah.
Put out a simplified tablet, keep the Wii brand, thinking that was important.
Yeah. I mean, it was such a mistake. It really is like a one-hit wonder pop star.
Yeah,
you know, they come out with a song, they don't have an album,
yeah,
they don't have any of the games to back it up there, you know, and then they're like, all right, let's do it again.
Yeah,
and then it falls flat, and it's just like, there exactly. You go.
And then you look at it now, and that's the thing, there are no the like we always talk about it, mid-tier developers faded away, Ubisoft reined it back in, like there is no more market out there for people to come out and say, here's my mini game compilation. Not to mention, you know, my mom still has the Wii under her TV. God only knows when she turns it on. Like, I think once in a while at a barbecue or something, they'll bowl. But it's like, I always think about it, like, for so many people who bought the Wii, they bought it and it was very much like those, like when you buy the one game controller that has the one game on it that you plug into your TV through the composite cables, and that's all it's just Galaga. And that's all, because it's all you wanted. And so many people bought it just wanting that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy.
Yeah, it's just like specifically thinking about E3s and thinking back to how amazing Nintendo's E3s used to be and how they were. Like, they fucking killed it from 2002 to 2006. Every year they'd come out with surprises and like lineups that were like legendary for the time.
Yeah.
Like, and I went coming out and talking about Metroid Prime. It's like, get the fuck out of here. This looks amazing and crazy.
Yeah.
Wind Waker, all this shit. And when they first showed Twilight Princess, that's what everybody wanted, you know? And then it's kept going. In 2008, when they did the Wii Music showing, that was the beginning of the end of Nintendo's conferences being a joke.
Yeah.
Like, being super bad. And that was, I'd say, right when Microsoft and Sony were still having shitty conferences, but they at least weren't that bad. You know, it wasn't like the joke of the show.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until a couple years later, like 2012, that Sony and Microsoft got good, specifically Microsoft. And they kept going.
Get
and
good,
then,
son.
But then Sony's like, oh shit, we got to step our game up. But now Sony's just top of the game with all that stuff.
Right.
And it's like, to imagine if Nintendo had just like not been like, well,
stayed the course.
We're number one. We got that hit single and been more like, all right, we got a fucking like HD console, whatever. I don't even know if that is the right answer though. You know, that's the other
and
thing.
I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, it's a great question. I think that they've burned so much goodwill with gamers where you, I do feel like they're in a really tough situation of making, I mean, like, that's why I was talking about, you know, like, I want the NX to be the console in the handheld because, like, that's exciting. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I wish I had now. I love my Vita, don't get me wrong, but I wish it was, I'm playing my PS4 game and now, so through magic, I'm playing it on the plane as well. And I know impossible, this, that, and the other, da, da, da. But if Nintendo could do it by saying we're not competing, we're not trying to get out there and be HD, 60 frames a second, so on and so forth, if you just go and you're making this thing, because I still stand by my statement that I always make, that Nintendo makes toys, and I don't mean that as an insult. I think they make really great toys, really fun toys. Their games are great when you play their games, right? But I think they need to get back to, they went so far off with the toy business, now they need to bring it back to make it a game business again, and be that we're here for gamers and we have the franchises you love and we've listened to your feedback and what you want and you like the mobile stuff, so here's a system that is mobile but isn't.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, to really talk about like what story do I want? I want the story of why they called it the Wii U. I think that's it. Like why that was the. I know the answer is because they're all, the Wii was successful, but yeah. It's like, I think that really was the business decision that really fucked them. Like, because
yeah.
Deciding that, it's like, all right, we're making a sequel to the Wii, not a new Nintendo console.
Sure.
All right. Next question comes from your boy Sean Pitts.
It's your boy Sean Pitts, IGN's own.
Yeah, IGN's Sean. Sean from IGN. You guys excited for the Warriors port coming out on PS4? What PS2 games should be next?
No.
Did you like Warriors?
No, I even played it.
You never played it?
No, never
that
played
was a,
Warriors.
That was a nice rental for me. That was back in the day when those games, there was that, and what was the other Rockstar game?
State of Emergency. Never forget.
Oh,
never
my God.
Never let them forget.
Which was such a fun rental. That is it.
Like, here's a demo. Just yep. going, like, all I'm doing is running on this mall, hacking people with an axe. What the hell's going on?
The Warriors definitely had a lot more going for it, but it always hit me in the same way as State of Emergency, where it's just like, cool. Definitely don't care about playing it on PS4.
Sure.
There's a ton of PS2 games that I would love to come out.
What PS4. Are they, though? That's my whole thing, is I feel like they've done so well at making the ones I'd want, where it is really? All the GTAs are there, Bully's there. Like, the Rockstar ones were such a big deal to me. But then it's like, I don't want to go back and play the wrestling games that I love, so you don't need to do that. And then, I'm trying to think of games that Smuggler's Run was fun. I always joke around about it. It was a great launch game. I don't need Smuggler's Run to be a PS2 classic.
I want to replay Onimusha 3 so bad.
Mm, yeah,
the whole
Onimusha
series,
Onimusha,
but specifically 3. And I never played Dawn of Dreams, the fourth game that was kind of, I think it's called Dawn of Dreams. So I'd love for those to come out.
Is Sands of Time on there yet?
Sands of Time has it's on PS3.
Yeah, I know. I know it's on PS3 as the re-release, whatever the hell it is, but
Sands of Time is a PS3 game, I guess you're right. It's PS2, but then they did the HD remaster.
Right, there was a digital version you could download on PS3,
And it is there's physical too as well.
Okay,
so
but I'm just saying PS4. Yeah. I'm trying to think of PS2 games.
There's so much. PS4 is lacking so much when it comes to back catalog stuff. They have like no PS1 classics at all.
Yeah. Like, no shop. I mean, PS2.
Downhill Domination is a game that I had so much fun with, and I'd love to just go back and play more, and I think it would hold up for sure still. Things like SSX Tricky. A lot of like the extreme sports games, I think, are fun.
I mean, I jump again to like, man, I would love the Crazy Taxi I played on PS2, but you can't have the album, so it's going to be garbage.
No.
Like,
so that's
the fucking
problem.
Downloadable
the
one they put out.
Is definitely an issue.
I just thought maybe we should do Crazy Taxi for Let's Play Live.
That's a good ass
Crazy
idea.
Taxi PS2.
My first PS2 game, Crazy Taxi.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I did.
I'll never forget. Fast. Like, we were playing that PS2 Crazy Taxi, because the Crazy Taxi story goes, of course, that I used to, after school in high school, go across the street to Target and waiting for my mom to pick me up, and I would just play the demo Dreamcast Crazy Taxi. And one day I remember talking to my friend Mike, and I'm like, I think I'm gonna buy a Dreamcast, and he's like, dude, don't. Like, the PS2's out in whatever it was, 6 months, 9 months at the time. He's like, don't worry about it, because he knew how much I hated Sega after the Saturn or whatever.
Yeah.
But then when we got Crazy Taxi on PS2 and we're playing in the basement, and we were passing the controller back and forth trying to get the best times, and when we discovered we could boost the entire time, like, it was herky and jerky, but we were killing times, and the first S rank that somebody got,
oh yeah,
like, it goes higher than
A.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
I loved the mini games in the PS2 version, like the bowling and the the big ass the jump that you do. God, that shit was so much fun. Shout out to Kinetica. I'd love to play Kinetica again. There's a whole Amplitude. Good Lord. Oh man, I would love if the original Amplitude was brought to PS4 so I could play it again. But the licensing would
That's what kills all these games.
Ever allow that? I'm sure I'm missing a whole bunch of shit, but yeah, there you go.
That's the weird thing where I feel like the PS2 had a great library, but then I sit back and I think about
NBA Street Volume 2.
I sit back and I think about games I actually want on it. I feel like we got the big ones that I care about.
See, I guess most of the games I'm talking about, they're the ones that are just fun. Like sure. Those are the times the games that don't degrade over time,
right?
Because it's not about the story or the graphics or whatever. It's just the gameplay is good and fun, just competitive shit. Steven Oslin says, what genres do you think will make good augmented reality games? And what challenges do you think developers will face? We were talking about this earlier, but like the Animal Crossings and the Tamagotchi Pokemon-esque things, I think are kind of...
I feel like for augmented reality to work, honestly, it has to be what we're talking about with VR, where it's built from the ground up and it's an experience. Like, yep. I guess, like, if like maybe you could put down like slot car racing, kart racing things for... But it's like...
Is that all augmented reality or is that just more...
Augmented reality is the mix, is like Pokemon where it's in you. So I'm saying like we would put down, all right, everybody. We'd put down your QR reader card and then, cause that's how I'm imagining work. If you want to use your phone, fine, but you'd see the track that way and you're driving your car this way.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I still don't feel like you understand what I'm saying.
So I know I get it. So it's augmented. I thought you were talking about more like there's like the bullshit we did at IGN.
Oh no, not Anki Racer. Anki where we have Racer, real cars.
Like,
Anki.
Yeah, you're using your phone to control the cars. It's like I don't know if that's augmented reality. Okay, so you're talking about like actually seeing the little toy
exactly.
Car
that's
whatever.
How you stand back and there's a track laid out on this thing that isn't here in real life that we have our own cars.
Gotcha.
But yeah. I mean, like that's the whole thing is like we've seen it work. Like Eye of Judgment. Like Eye of Judgment was an AR game on PlayStation, right? And it was like. PlayStation 2 or 3, sorry. And it was like, all right, cool, but like I could just play a card game if I really wanted to. I understand there's like fireball effects
Magic
or whatever.
Or whatever.
Oh, yeah. What was it? Oh, shit. I have the platinum in it.
Was it Sorcerer?
Wonderbook.
Fuck. Oof.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of the
2-hour
games,
platinum, though.
Yu-Gi-Oh. If you motherfuckers figure out Yu-Gi-Oh, no, I don't know, Greg, you don't know Yu-Gi-Oh, don't care about Yu-Gi-Oh.
I'm not going to yell at you about it.
No, you're not going to yell
at me. You're in a safe spot. Colin's not here. I'm not going to tackle you.
So Yu-Gi-Oh, like Pokemon, bunch of monsters and stuff, but it is totally just a card game.
Yeah.
So in the show, they would use the cards and put down the cards and things are, it is augmented reality. So if those motherfuckers figure that out, give me one of the little arm bracelet things, then we good.
That's the whole thing is augmented reality doesn't do it for me. Like I know a lot of people are more excited for augmented reality than VR, but I think they're excited for it in your everyday functionality. Whereas like augmented reality, like if we're counting Google Glass and it's showing and mapping out, like not on the road or whatever, but like directions, that's totally cool.
Yeah.
But in terms of a gaming thing, like I'm just not into like
even seeing when little dumbass things happen.
I mean, PSP had Invisimals, right? And I tried to, I don't know if I reviewed it or if I just fucked around with it, but it was like, fine, whatever. You know what I mean? Like this isn't really what, but I mean, that's augmented reality and that when the way it's been used so far, it's getting shoehorned in as a gimmick. And so like if you're going to make it real, you're going to make HoloLens matter. You're going to have to go in there and build from the ground up.
Yeah. Let's see. We'll take a couple more. Brandon Williams says, why are there so many high profile games this fall? It just seems like there's more than usual. Am I overreacting or do you agree?
I feel like there's less.
Yeah. I feel like it's about average.
It's normal, if not because what I'm thinking of: Gears, Titanfall, Last Guardian, Battlefield. Did I say Call of Duty? Because Call of Duty, then.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Madden.
Like it's gonna be everything.
Don't have
you expect.
Assassin's Creed. A couple of the big new ones got bumped.
Sony doesn't have a big. I mean, they have a Gran Turismo, Last Guardian, but I mean, they don't have like an Uncharted, a Kratos, one of those kind of games Sky. There. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
it's gonna be fun, but it's coming out this month, right? So it's already. Jigs
August
up.
Next month.
When is this posting?
July.
I thought this was the Gamescast for August 1st.
No, definitely.
Oh, weird.
Absolutely.
I thought we were filming them out of order.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that it's about the same. You know, games have been doing this for a very long time.
Sure.
So now the year
I feel like the first half. I feel like the first half of next year is
stacked. There's a whole bunch.
Yeah.
But I think the last half of this year is about par for the course.
Yeah.
A lot less Nintendo games than normal. Actually,
no,
that's not
true. That's been the new normal. You're thinking when you were a child.
You're right. All right, final question. Sam Jones says,
Sam Jones?
Do you guys a kind of funny eat ass or what?
Whoa.
Yes. Yes.
Whoa.
It's 2016. Grow the fuck up.
Whoa.
Like groceries. The rappers told me to do it.
Jesus Christ.
I had no choice.
I would not have pulled this question for this show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this show's brought to you by Casper. Casper is a sleep brand.
Oh, and are they happy they sponsored this one?
Oh, yeah.
Roll from the ass-eating question into the mattress roll.
No, Casper is a sleep brand that creates one perfect mattress sold directly, like a Nintendo, to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house. Award-winning sleep surface.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's got two types of technology, you know, two types of foam.
It's one that was developed in-house, has a sleek design, and is delivered in a small, how-do-they-do-that-sized box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. Mattresses can often cost well over $1,500, but Casper's like, nah, bruh. $500 for a twin-size mattress, $600 for twin XL, $750 for a full, $850 for queen, and $950. One of them, they're kings. The Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Kevin, I know how much you like to bounce. This might be the
bounce,
one for
bounce,
you.
Bounce, bounce.
Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. Take that, all you other mattresses.
Suck it, Tempur-Pedic.
Free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. Try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Made in America, so you know Colin's proud.
USA.
Get $50 towards any mattress by purchasing and visiting casper.com/KFGames and using offer code KFGames.
Terms you have to say it, though, apply. Or type it like he's saying.
Yes, so again, www.casper.com/KFGames. Use our code KFGames. Till next time. I love you, I love your body, and I love everything you represent in life. Unless you're a racist.
Whoa, yeah, no, fuck you if that's you.